The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All championships are not the same. The road to winning a championship is rarely given enough credit in the conversation around champions. Now, last year, we spent all year talking about what a bubble championship deserves in credit. How do we value it? The problem is we forgot to have the same conversation this year, and I think that's a drastic mistake. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max Kellerman. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. But we start today with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and it comes in the form of what we're seeing in the NBA playoffs. Now, the easiest thing to do is to immediately hop on quick narratives. This team stinks. This player isn't doing enough. This player has, we expect more from. It's easy to take those big generalizations without looking at specifics. And the road to a championship this year specifically is incredibly difficult because of the turnaround in seasons. It doesn't take that long to remember where we were going into the bubble. And we had this big talk then about what does it mean to see an NBA champion in the bubble? Do we give it more credit or less credit? Does it take more perseverance to win a championship in that setting? Or do we look around and say, it's such a strange season, we can't make heads or tails of it? The thing is, what we forgot to do was remember it would impact this season. We had, a 71-day turnaround before we start the next NBA season, and the scheduling was jumbled up because they were trying to get a lot of games in. So suddenly, you end up with absolutely decimated rosters going into the playoffs. Now, you could say that's a win, because we've seen young stars emerging throughout the course of the NBA, and that's great for the future conversation. But for the right now, in a world where we're suddenly looking at the Nets and trying to figure out how to value that team, how do we? When injuries have absolutely ripped apart the roster. When you start thinking about the 76ers and what injury has done to the roster, what the Lakers went through this year, and you start looking across the board and saying, hey guys, maybe this isn't just a one-team thing. Maybe this is a trend. And if it's a trend, how does it impact the way we're viewing this current playoff cycle to try to get to a championship? Because let's be real, injuries and lack of continuity all equal inconsistency. And that's what we're seeing across every series is some level of inconsistency. The simple fact is, I'm not sure the best team in the NBA is going to win the championship. Not at all. But I am sure of one thing. The healthiest team in the NBA will win the championship. So kudos and tip of the hat, because suddenly I'm feeling really good about teams like Milwaukee and the Clippers, whereas just a few weeks ago, we were ready to give up on many of them. That's some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contracts. No compromise.
Leonard against O'Neal, driving to his left. Leonard to the rim. Oh! Kawhi Leonard! A major poster! He just put Derek Favors into the earth!
Clippers Radio Network on the call. Again, it's the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz in for Max, and that is the dunk everybody was talking about, as Kawhi Leonard was absolutely incredible. The Clippers get a big win over the Jazz, 118-104, which ties this series at two apiece and reminds us that if there's any team in the NBA we have no idea how to figure out, it's the Clippers. Like, I want to be able to give you some great, massive hot take about where the Clippers are, who the Clippers are, and where the Clippers are going. But it'd be disingenuous at best, because we realistically don't know. We know that when the Clippers show up, boy, do they look tough to beat. We know that we were ready to count the Clippers out against the Mavs. But now, here we sit again. Here we sit again, looking at a Clippers team that looked outmatched against the Jazz, and all of a sudden, now we're sitting back in a tied series. And it comes down to stars. I just said, it comes down to who's healthy. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, said this about the Clippers duo on SportsCenter at night last night.
When they're performing at that level offensively, they're one of the best duos in the game today, okay? And playoff P has finally arrived. He still have to show me a little bit more, but I know what they could do on the offensive end. We know what Kawhi Leonard Jordan brings to the table. Defensively, though, they have been a monster, leading the pack by Kawhi Leonard. He has to remind us that he did win Defensive Player of the Year 2 years while he was in San Antonio. They are taking over the game and they're leading it by example, and the rest are following.
I mean, I love Kendrick Perkins, and I love Kendrick Perkins' takes, but everything he said, while it's true, is part of the reason the Clippers are maddening. He started off by saying they're one of the best duos in the game. Well, let's be real. When Kawhi picked the Clippers and decided to go there with Paul George, we weren't having one of conversations. It was immediately, oh my God, we have to take the Clippers seriously. They may have the best duo in the game. And now clearly they don't. And then he turns around and talks about Paul George, who is coming off of a big night. But do we take a 31-point night for Paul George as some proof of concept that he's now here to stay through this process? I don't. You got to see some level of consistency, right? I mean, if we knew that that version of Paul George was going to be the version moving forward, it'd be easy to come in and say, here we are, and here are the Clippers. But we don't know that. We can't know that because they've given us no indication that they can consistently, back-to-back, do this every single night. They are much like the Lakers were in the bubble. When they're on, they're unbeatable. The problem is, they have a lot of nights they're not. Stephen A. Smith on Stephen A.'s World, actually, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning. He gave you the same thoughts on the Clippers. He's not sold.
I think that the Clippers still lose the series if Mike Conley finds his way into the lineup, because I think they go back and protect their home court for Game 5. And I think they could still win this series in 7 games, which I originally picked them to do anyway. The Clippers are playing well right now. Paul George has really stepped up his game and deserves a lot of props. But at the end of the day, when you look at Utah's size, their defensive prowess, their ability to shoot threes, along with Donovan Mitchell being that star that he is, if he's healthy enough to play and Mike Conley finds his way back into the lineup, I still think Utah wins this series.
And I'll take what Stephen A. said and take it one step further. This isn't about the stars. This isn't about Kawhi. It isn't about Donovan Mitchell. It's about the next guy, the next man up on either of these teams. Whichever next man up has the better series is going to be the team that advances. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
The Atlanta Hawks, they win at home, and they've evened the series with the top-seeded 76ers at 2 games apiece.
We missed so many opportunities. My eyes told me that we blew a golden opportunity tonight.
Man, was I wrong about this series on Spain and Fitz. By the way, you should check out Spain and Fitz, Sarah Spain and myself, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. And I said, you know what? It doesn't really matter where the health is for the 76ers. They'll be fine getting through Atlanta. They just got to make sure that they're healthy enough to play in the Eastern Conference Finals. Boy, was I wrong about that. As that series now finds itself dead-knotted at 2 each. The Hawks with the close 103-100 win last night. Now all eyes are going to be on the Sixers, Joel Embiid, and his health. And I think health is such a tricky conversation. That's why we started saying, hey, we've got to look at health overall and understand that realistically, it's going to impact every single series. That being said, Stephen A. wants none of it. He said this about the Sixers and whether or not they're able to achieve just what we expect.
Every time you expect something from them, something happens. Like, for example, I understand Embiid was hurt last night, but you on the court, you couldn't find a way to get to the foul line? I mean, 0 for 12 in the second half, really? You couldn't find a way to get one basket? I mean, if you're on the court, I mean, I understand that you're not healthy, but you were healthy enough to be on the court, or you were healthy enough to take 12 shots. You couldn't make one in the second half? So I look at it from that standpoint, and then I think about Tobias Harris, who's had an outstanding year. I think about Seth Curry, who can shoot. I think about Ben Simmons, who's supposed to be that star, even though we all know he can't shoot. And I'm saying, wait a minute, he had an 18-point lead. 18 points, and you lost it. Inexcusable. Doc Rivers pointed to hero ball. That's a legitimate argument about it. But I could look at other things and say, look, you just didn't get it done.
Well, realistically, and that's, again, Stephen A., this is the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Realistically, Embiid's in a lose-lose situation. I mean, what did we just hear there? Underachieving, you're on the court, make a basket. That's the lose-lose situation of where guys are physically right now. You can't tell me you watched any of that game and felt like you were getting the real version of Joel Embiid at all. It was painful to watch a shell of himself try and be out there on the floor. And it didn't work. But realistically, from the other side of it, even though he was 4 for 20 from the field, if Joel Embiid doesn't play, somebody somewhere is calling him soft. Like, seriously, that's where we are? your option is get out there, do your best, be a shell of yourself, put everything you can on the floor, and then have people question whether or not you're good enough because you didn't make a shot when you're obviously injured, or you don't put yourself on the floor at all and people question your toughness. That's insane. There is enough talent on that 76ers team across the board. There is enough talent that we should be looking at everybody saying, hey, do more, be better, not just Joel Embiid. I mean, Ben Simmons, 11 points. I understand the value of Ben Simmons on both sides of the floor. I understand the value of Embiid on both sides of the floor. But realistically, if we're going to take this and pin this on one person, if we're going to pin that loss on one player, I am not going to pin it on the guy that's out there trying his best that's obviously hurt. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong, by the way. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to get some thoughts on all things NBA now from the Goodyear Hotline, where we are joined by my good friend, Freddie Coleman. You hear Freddie all the time on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. You see Freddie on First Take. Freddie is everywhere. Freddie, talk to me a little bit, man. Let's start with the 76ers, because Stephen A. says that all they ever do is underachieve, and I'm having a hard time negotiating that with an obviously injured Embiid that just didn't have what he needed in the tank. So where are you on Philly?
I'm with you in terms of that's a little heavy-handed to call them underachievers, because, Fitz, think about 2 years ago. They were a bounce, bounce, bounce going through the rope away from getting the Eastern Conference Finals when they lost it to Toronto Raptors, and Kawhi Leonard hit that shot, and that sent the Raptors on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals and an NBA championship. So I clearly understand why people want to say they're underachieved, but let's look at this basketball team. More than ever before, you're going to need two greats. Right now, they have a great player in Joel Embiid. There's no doubt about that. And they have a guy that should be a great player, but he's a great playmaker when it comes to Ben Simmons. So people can't just put that loss totally on Joel Embiid just because he went 0 for the fourth quarter last night and 4-20 from the field. He did get 21 rebounds. But sometimes when a guy is struggling like that, somebody else has to step up. That guy has to be Ben Simmons. So I'm not buying the whole underachieving tag when it comes to the 76ers so far.
And Freddie, you know, we started the show by talking about what has turned out to be a war of attrition this year in the NBA playoffs. Nobody can get healthy. So when you look at the East or the West and you start thinking about health as part of it, how are we supposed to view this year's playoffs when so many stars have just fallen to the wayside because of injury?
Jason used the term war of attrition because how many times have we seen that in previous years, where maybe not every year like we've seen in the last couple of playoff runs in the NBA, whether it was bubble-licious last year or non-bubble-licious this year. But I go back to the back into the 1988 season where the Los Angeles Lakers were trying to make it a three-peat. Byron Scott gets hurt in game one. Magic Johnson gets hurt later on in game two, and they wound up getting swept by the Detroit Pistons. So this is not the first time we've seen war of attrition hit the NBA playoffs. I think this is the first time, Jason, especially in recent years, we're seeing the war of attrition hitting superstar players. It seems that every team that has a superstar player doesn't have that player. Or if you have a holy trinity like you have with the Brooklyn Nets, where now Kevin Durant has to hope that James Harden is going to be right, and they upgraded him from out the doubtful, which means they're telling me that they don't believe that Kevin Durant can carry this team by himself in a game five with Kyrie Irving not out there. So more than ever before, especially when it comes to the offseason, players are really going to have to manage their bodies. But let's be honest, any injury can happen at any given time, and it doesn't matter if you're a team with two superstars or a team with one superstar and a bunch of almost that are hoping to help him out and try to get them to the NBA championship.
We're talking to Freddie Coleman of Freddie and Fitzsimmons on the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz filling in for Max. So, Freddie, you just mentioned KD. Now, I'm going to ask everybody to chime in throughout the course of the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to talk about pressure in that series because I'm looking at KD thinking, man, you might be the best player in the world. So can you win a game in this series when you don't have any – you're Batman, you don't have Robin. But conversely, I'm looking at the Bucks saying, okay, yep, Giannis has – if you can't beat this version of the Nets, the heck are you doing? So in your mind, who has the most pressure going into the rest of this series knowing where we are today?
To me, I think you're right. It's definitely Giannis Antetokounmpo, because if you're not going to see James Harden and Kyrie Irving, or even if you see those guys, Jason – they're going to be compromised as in terms of what they're going to try to do in the basketball court to make this work for the Brooklyn Nets. This may be the best opportunity Giannis Antetokounmpo has had, where a weakened team is on the other side. And we saw what they're able to do to this weakened team in the second half in game four, where they were just able to run away and hide from the Brooklyn Nets because they were a one-man gang and the other rest of the gang could not step up. So I'm with you in terms of Giannis Antetokounmpo, but here's something else in terms of what you mentioned about Kevin Durant. For my money, tonight is the most pressurized game for Kevin Durant since Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals back in 2016 when he played for Oklahoma City. They had a 3-1 lead in that series, and they were not able to finish the job against the Golden State Warriors. We're going to find out a lot about both of these guys. Giannis on one side from Milwaukee, where you have a wounded animal on the other side, and you have the ability to take advantage with a fully healthy team, relatively speaking. And then on the other side, you got Kevin Durant. He's never had to worry about being a leader or leading a team. He's a great scorer, great playmaker, no doubt about it. But now they're going to need his leadership, and can he do that, have guys rally around that and take that message and go out there onto the court and win a game five that I don't think they'll be able to win if James Harden and Kyrie Irving are not out there, or even if they are out there, they're going to be a compromised James Harden and Kyrie Irving.
Is there some spot, Freddie, because, you know, the way you mentioned it just makes me think about that, whatever that instinct is, that killer instinct we expect certain great players to have. Like, I'm watching this like almost like a fight, right? I want to see who comes out just swinging in the beginning and who comes out aggressively saying, my season's on the line, my legacy's on the line, and you will not take it from me. So in your mind, do either of these coaches sort of give an advantage when it comes to that portion of the process?
I think that's a 50-50 right there, because we have not seen that from Mike Budenholzer with the Milwaukee Bucks. Because remember, Jason, 2 years ago, they had a 2-0 lead on the Toronto Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they couldn't finish that job. Last year, they played a Miami Heat team that was nowhere near as talented as they were, and the Miami Heat beat the blood out of them in that series. So if anybody's going to have that killer instinct, I don't trust it's going to be from either coach. Steve Nash being his first time as a head coach in the NBA, and Mike Budenholzer under fire with the Milwaukee Bucks as their head coach. In any game like this, it's always going to have to come down to your superstars. The one guy that I trust that has a killer instinct is Kevin Durant. That's the one guy that if this game is close, if this game is tight, I trust he's going to find a way to make a play and make that big shot over Giannis Antetokounmpo or even Chris Middleton, who's been the closer for the Milwaukee Bucks more than the Greek Freak. But in terms of the coaching and coaching staffs here, it can't be about them in game five. You can give the players the plays, but the players have got to go out there and make those plays work and make sure the opposition's plays don't work. So I'm not too concerned about a killer instinct coming from the coaches. That has to be a player's responsibility in a game like this more so than the coaches.
Talking to Freddie Coleman of Freddie and Fitzsimmons, which you, by the way, can listen to from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. It's the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz filling in for Max. So that's a lot of conversation about the East. Simple question with the complicated answer on the West, Freddie. Who's the best team in the West right now?
In terms of the Phoenix Suns, because right now, Jason, they have had, for my money, the best run of anybody in the Western Conference playoffs. And that's why last night was so pivotal. I thought that Utah had to win that game four, because even if it's a 3-1 lead going into that game, I don't think the Clippers are going to beat them in game five, no matter how well they played. The fact that it's now 2-2 and this series could go seven games, now you're going to have a well-rested, healthy Phoenix Suns team, because right now, Jason, they got Mai Tais, they got their dinner robes on, they got the cigars out, they're playing canasta because they don't have to worry about any kind of stress getting ready for a game five against the Denver Nuggets. Those kind of stressful situations, if you're able to minimize that as much as possible on a march to a championship, especially in a loaded Western Conference, that's going to serve Phoenix well. The fact that Utah did not win game four last night, I don't like either chance, whoever comes out of that series, to beat a well-rested and a very hungry and talented Phoenix Suns team that is as healthy, if not more healthy, than anybody else in the NBA playoffs right now. When you got Chris Paul on a mission and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Monty Williams, their head coach, trying to help them with that mission, and they're healthy mentally and physically, that's going to be a lot for the winner, the Jazz and Clippers, to overcome no matter who comes out of that series.
Freddie, I love how much context you always give to things. Like you mentioned earlier, you know, looking back at the war of attrition. When we look back at this season in a few years, and we're trying to give context to what happened for CP3, what made Chris Paul so comfortable in this situation to accomplish this level of greatness, what's the answer to that?
Boy, Fitz, that's a great question, because you can look at so many variables, but I think it comes down to this, the relationship that he and Monty Williams had in the past and what they've been able to make it work together, because Monty Williams is the one that raised his hand to say, if that guy is available, he's going to make our basketball team better on and off the court. And I love what Monty Williams said, Jason, after game four and they swept the Denver Nuggets. He said, Chris Paul was there at the lowest part of my life, and now he's here at the highest part of my life. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. And I thought back when Monty lost his wife in that car accident and left a widowed man with five kids. And he said the one person that was there to help him through that dark place was Chris Paul. So having that kind of relationship that goes beyond basketball, that's one of those reasons I look at that and say, if this is going to happen, it'll be the perfect kind of basketball gods, karma gods scenario where Chris Paul has been that guy that people said, you need a championship to validate how great you are, which I think is a completely ridiculous narrative because this guy's been great his whole career. But now you have a chance to be on this stage like this, you're delivering, and you're helping out somebody that's been a friend outside of basketball. Those kind of things you can't even manufacture. And that's been a main point with a talented Phoenix team. That relationship between Chris Paul and Monty Williams has really kind of set the table for this basketball team, rising up from the ashes like the Phoenix, like the Greek mythology of old, and having a chance to win a championship when it's all said and done.
You can listen to him on ESPN Radio Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Of course, follow him on Twitter, at Coleman ESPN. Freddie Coleman, appreciate you, my brother. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime, my brother. You take care and be well, Jason. Thanks a lot.
You know, what Freddie was just talking about is such an echoed sentiment that I've heard from so many players that I know currently in leagues or that used to play. And they talk about the personal relationship. When you get that with a coach and a player in the right time, in the right moment, where a player really feels like you're invested in their life and vice versa, I'm telling you, it changes the way performance happens. It changes the way guys approach the game. And it really creates a bond that leads to a higher level of success. We see it over and over again. In the meantime, I want to talk to you guys about pressure. It's a simple question. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. With the Bucks and Nets playing Game 5, who's under the most pressure going into this game? I mean, you could argue Kevin Durant has to show that he can be Kevin Durant and win this thing by himself. You could argue, conversely, that this is the moment for Giannis. What about Coach Bud? Is this a win or go home for him as a head coach for Milwaukee? Who's under the most pressure? I want you guys to tell me what you think. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll give you some of our answers on pressure and what it means for that matchup coming up. But first, if you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like finding a needle in a haystack. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. It's super easy. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. Max, you know that. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. It's Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We'll answer it next. Who's under the most pressure between the Bucks and the Nets?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Breaking news, Nets point guard Kyrie Irving and guard James Harden will be spectators for Game 5.
If there's any silver lining, it's that we've continued to win games this year regardless of who's been available.
They want to know that James Harden is healthy. He's certainly much closer to a return than Kyrie Irving.
In the latest news, when it comes to injuries, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Nets star James Harden is hopeful to play Game 5 against Milwaukee. Will test his right hamstring before tip-off tonight, sources have told ESPN. Now, what that means for how he'll actually play, we'll see. Bucks at Nets tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, with that series tied at 2. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Jason Fitz in for Max. A shameless plug, you can listen to Spain and Fitz tonight before the Bucks and Nets game. Obviously, Sarah and I will get you caught up and ready for that game and have a blast doing it. So check out Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations Monday through Friday. Short show tonight because of the NBA. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Game 5, Bucks host the Nets, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. So I've asked you to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. For tonight's game specifically, who has the most pressure? Because we look at Kevin Durant and we say, oh, KD's got to be able to win this one. He's got to. But then you look at Giannis and say, man, if Milwaukee can't beat this version of the Nets, what are we doing? Are they good enough? I keep looking at the coaches, too. We have no idea if Nash can coach. We know that Coach Bud is on the hot seat. All of this just leads to this pressure cooker. And Stephen A., on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning, talked about KD and what he expects him to be able to do with this Nets team.
I don't think it's too much to ask for arguably the greatest scorer this game has ever seen in Kevin Durant to get us one game in Brooklyn. I don't think you can win the series without Kyrie. I don't think you can win the series without Kevin Durant, James Harden both. No question. Kevin Durant ain't going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks by himself for the series. But he should be able to get you game five. And if he can get you game five, then you can really rest, obviously, Kyrie, because he can't go, and possibly James Harden. At least one of them have a better possibility of winning game seven, because you damn sure going to lose game six back in Milwaukee. Mm. Get game five.
Let's get
you
out.
KD, you should be able to get you one.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in for Max. And I say that because I don't want anyone to confuse this take with Max's take. I don't want to get Max in trouble here. Stephen A., you've lost your mind. I mean, there is absolutely no way that you can look at this and say KD should be able to get one unless you're telling me, Stephen A., that the next day you're not going to turn around and say, you know what, I just absolutely refuse to say, well, Giannis should be able to beat this team. This is a no-win situation. Like, on first take tomorrow, if Giannis and the Bucks get just thrashed by KD alone, on first take tomorrow, the conversation will be, why couldn't Giannis beat this KD? You can't have it both ways. So you guys tell me, who's under the most pressure? Andre in Massachusetts, thanks for calling the show, Andre. What do you got? Who do you think's under the most pressure in this one?
Fitz, thanks for taking my call. Listen, it has to be Kevin Durant under the most pressure based on the fact that many people believe that he is the best basketball player walking on the face of the planet Earth. And he's been in LeBron James' shadow all these years. This is a prime opportunity. Now, we hope possibly James Harden can be there to be his, you know, to be the Robin to his Batman. But we need an ensemble definitive performance from Kevin Durant on the biggest stage under the most precious under the most pressure, excuse me, to establish his bona fides as the best player walking the face of the earth.
Andre, thanks for the call, man. Love it. Love the energy, too. And I'll say this. It's rare at this point in KD's career to have true moments that can change the way people see you. Is this not one of them? I mean, if KD goes in without Harden, who, again, is going to try and give it a go tonight, but if it's without Harden and without Kyrie, and he beats this Bucks team, man, do we have to reframe some of the conversation? Because this is not a bad Bucks team. This is a good Bucks team. If he can come out and do that, maybe we need to rethink some of the way we're talking about it. But I still look at the other side and think, man, if I'm Milwaukee, as an organization, if I can't beat this version of the Nets, what's the point? Tear it apart, rip it up, completely blow the whole thing up. If you can't beat this version, this decimated version of the Nets, and you realize that you're never going to have a better shot. Like, the Nets have a couple of years here where they're going to be absolutely dominant, and they're not healthy today. If you can't beat this version, it's not going to get easier for the next 2 or 3 years. You're going to have to take this entire thing and start the process over. That is an insane thought of pressure, because we're not just talking about this one game. You're talking about the entire future of where you're going for your organization. That's pressure. Mitch in New Jersey, what do you got, man? Thanks for calling the show. Who do you think's under the most pressure?
I think it's Durant. He's the fellow that jumps for teams that have to have a couple of superstars. Let's see him carry his team. I mean, it really looked bad that the Nets were going to win easily. And one more thing, the Clippers. You think they can handle a healthy Phoenix front court? I know I'm putting the cart before the horse.
Oh, you're putting the cart way before the horse. And no, I don't think so. I mean, I think we have undervalued this Phoenix team, by the way, throughout the entirety of this season because, you know, frankly, we weren't paying a lot of attention. You know, Phoenix, absolutely, everything that has been thrown at them, they've handled. And I haven't seen enough consistency from the Clippers to believe in them at all. Thanks for the call, by the way. You guys can keep chiming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know, if KD loses this one game, we'll be able to make excuses for it. If KD turns around and doesn't win this series, but he's by himself the whole time, we'll be able to make excuses for it. Can we make excuses for Giannis, for Jrue Holiday, for Middleton? Can we make excuses for those guys if this doesn't go their way at this point? If those three stars with the Bucks cannot, together like Voltron, stack up and beat just KD, man, that to me is pressure, because that means you've got it all wrong. And if you've got it all wrong, you got to start all the way over. It's like building furniture from IKEA and you realized 80% of the way in that you put one of the pieces the wrong way and now you got to take the whole thing apart. That's pressure. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's how you guys can get in on the conversation. We're going to keep taking your calls, obviously, on pressure throughout the course of this series, what you expect from tonight. Who's under the most pressure? You call, we'll let you chime in on the show. In the meantime, Major League Baseball has made a tough decision about a sticky situation. We'll tell you about it next. The Max Kellerman Show, Jason Fitz filling in on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Jason Fitz filling in for Max. We're talking a lot about pressure for tonight, Game 5 between the Bucks and the Nets. Who's under the most pressure? We've asked you to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Getting a lot of thoughts, obviously, so far for KD. A lot of people think he's under the microscope. I disagree with that. Sam in Dallas, give me your take, man. Who do you think's under the most pressure in tonight's game?
Because he signed that max extension this year, that's why he's there. And the pressure's on Mike Budenholzer because he lost the past 2 years. You know, you have to win if you want to be there.
See, and I totally agree with that. I mean, that is absolutely the right call to me. We at some point have made up our mind on KD. Also, I think that has to play into this. It's a little like the LeBron versus MJ debate. Like nothing anybody says will ever change anyone's mind on it. It's like my dad can beat up your dad. There's no actual end to the argument. Just once when I was a kid, I just wanted to see two dads go at it just so we could get that answer solved. This is a little bit the same with KD. People are dug in. They've made up their mind. They're still making up their mind about Giannis. So there's so much opportunity here to the long-term conversation, to what the Bucks are going to be doing moving forward. I think it's clear that they're under the most pressure and that Giannis, frankly, has all of the pressure on him. Because now it's Giannis and friends taking on. So you got three different levels, but you got three people in his superhero tag team, right? But over here, for KD, you may only have one. Should be able to win that one. The Max Kellerman Show, Jason Fitz filling in for Max. Okay, I want to get you caught up on a couple of other big stories going on right now. And one is from Major League Baseball, as they have announced a punishment plan for pitchers that are found using illegal foreign substances. So pitchers will be ejected and then suspended for 10 games for using any illegal foreign substance to doctor baseballs, and a crackdown by Major League Baseball that starts on Monday. So the commissioner's office, responding to record strikeouts and a league batting average at more than half a century low, said Tuesday that major and minor league umpires will start regular checks of all pitchers, even if opposing managers don't request inspections. It raises a question of how they intend to police it. Jeff Passan, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, said this about that on Greeny earlier today.
Starting a week from yesterday, Major League Baseball players who are caught with foreign substances are going to be suspended for 10 days with pay. The rules are going to be distributed sometime today is the expectation, but Major League Baseball teams, players, everybody around the league has been awaiting this, knowing that it's going to happen. And I think the most frustrating part to players is that the league is not going to be differentiating between industrial adhesives like spider tack and sort of lo-fi substances like mixing sunscreen and rosin together, which players have been doing for a long time, or using pine tar. They are treating everything as if it's the same. There are no misdemeanors or felonies. Everything in this case is a felony, and players don't like that very much.
It makes sense. That's Jeff Passan again on Greeny with Mike Greenberg talking about how they'll be policing this. Makes sense that players don't like it because they want to see variety. They want to see levels, right? There's different crimes deserve different punishments. It seems like that makes sense at some level from their standpoint. From Major League Baseball's standpoint, you're in a tricky spot here. I mean, how often do we sit there and talk about speeding up the game? We've limited the number of mound visits allowed, right? And so all of a sudden we're doing all of these things at the major and minor league level to keep the game moving. And now we're just going to have games intermittently stop so the pitchers can be checked. It just seems like that's going to be so difficult to figure out through flow. And flow is such an important part of the baseball process. Not necessarily because it always had to be, but because, frankly, Major League Baseball made it important. When you start doing things like limiting the number of mound visits, when you do things in the minors like a pitch clock, when you put these things in place to try and speed up the flow of the game and make it a more watchable product, now suddenly you're doing something that accomplishes the opposite of that. You're doing something that inevitably will slow the game down. And at key times. I mean, let's face it. every single time they look at a pitcher, it's going to be scrutinized. But do we really want a World Series where suddenly every few pitches they're checking? I mean, that's a realistic possibility. I think Major League Baseball has put themselves in a lose-lose situation because this brings this to the forefront. And now, like everything else, we're going to be watching the policing of it incredibly closely and looking for some level of consistency. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, all of it, and more at progressive.com. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Max. Another big story going on right now comes from The Athletic. As The Athletic has put out a report that there's some tension within the Mavs organization, and that tension involves Luka Doncic. Anytime you're talking about the star of the franchise that we've all fallen in love with and having some sort of an issue with, as they call it, a shadow GM in the article on The Athletic, anytime you're talking about some level of discord, it becomes sort of an ear-up moment. Everybody's paying a little more attention to it. Now, I want to stress this. Luka has given absolutely no indication at all that he wants to do anything other than sign the max contract that will be available to him to stay with Dallas. So why get this article out there? I mean, Mark Cuban has already come out and blasted the article, said that there's virtually no truth to it, right? Like, it's a hit piece is the constant answer from everybody. But my question is, why get the article out there? Because everything that comes out for a reason. Somebody decides to put the article out, whether it's the player, whether it's the team, whether it's the agent for the player. The one thing an agent told me years ago that I found to be true, if you can source the benefit, who's going to be the one that benefits from an article coming out, then you have a pretty good idea of where it leaked from. In this situation, if there's actual discourse and Luka wants somebody fired, this was an interesting way to go about doing that. We've always heard that there's this open door policy with Mark Cuban and his players and that everybody loves each other. And that's what makes it one of the great franchises to be a part of is Mark Cuban. Why does Luka Doncic's people feel that this needs to be fought this way rather than simply having that conversation with Mark Cuban? And if the conversation has happened, why is Mark Cuban putting it into this situation as well? There's got to be a better resolution because, frankly, the Mavs without Luka are nothing. And they have to know that, and he has to know it. That's why it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on moving forward. Anytime we see discourse, we automatically think, oh, that player's going to go play somewhere else. I'm not going to say that. But when you see an article like this, it at least makes you pay attention. Clippers and Hawks win. We want to get your thoughts on most pressure. We'll talk about all of it next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN App.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.